You're listening to The David Knight Show. Using free speech to free minds. It's The David Knight Show.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is Thursday, the 12th of December, 2019, and my name is Harrison Smith. I'm sitting in for David Knight today, and what a day we have planned for you today. We have four guests over the next 3 hours. Tom Papert of National File, Peter Diabroska, congressional candidate of Tucker Carlson fame, Andrew Tate, who will be telling me how to be a man, I suppose. That's what he's all about, and I think we can all stand to learn a few things about that. And, of course, Gerald Celente of Trends Research will give us some projections into the future about the economy and others. But I have a personal note before the show begins. Oh, before I get to my personal note, let me tell you that when we return from the commercial break, we will be going into this absolutely amazing documentary called How Google Took Over the World. Must watch full documentary from Ping Trip. Ping Trip is the editor's name, and you can find that on his YouTube. But you can also find it on band.video, which is where you can share that link. It's absolutely blowing up, and it's a fantastic production. So we'll be showing you that documentary in its entirety. It's about 22 minutes, and then by 8:30, we'll have Tom Papert in studio, and we'll really get the ball rolling. But my personal note, some good news and some bad news. Okay. The good news is that I have leveled up. I am no longer the man I was yesterday. Yesterday, I was merely Harrison Smith, brother, son, married man. Today, I am Uncle Harrison, ladies and gentlemen. My sister gave birth to a baby boy last night at around 3 a.m., and we could not be happier. 34 weeks. There were some complications in the pregnancy. Thank God for modern medicine. The delivery was safe. He's breathing on his own. And everybody is happy. It's a wonderful blessing. It's an amazing thing. So I just want to share that with everybody. The bad news is that means I barely got any sleep last night. And I will be chugging along today with a brain working at about half capacity. So luckily, I have all of these incredible guests to help me get through it. And of course, we will get to your headlines, biggest headlines of the day. I have a lot of clips from the IG testimony yesterday, some absolutely bombshell stuff from Republicans and some pitiful stuff from the Democrats. What else would you expect? So we'll get to that. If we even have time, we're going to be having so much fun discussing the day's news with our guests. I don't even know how many of these clips we'll actually get to, but we got plenty of them, so stay tuned. Lots of stuff to be excited about today, and so I'm glad that you're with us. And folks, if you want to support the program, please go to InfoWarsStore.com and take advantage of our 12 days of Christmas sale. And this is the time to do it, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, I know you're often waiting for your particular product to go on sale. You may you know that we always have these incredible sales. Maybe you think, yeah, I'm not going to get that right now. I'll wait till it goes on sale. Well, folks, pretty much everything is on sale. So now's the time to get it. But not only that, why is this the time to take a little trip to InfoWarsStore.com? Well, for a couple reasons. First of all, of course, the supplements are the bedrock of the store. That's how you better your heart, your mind, your body. It's how you improve yourself. And that's what this season is all about, I think. It's about two things. It's about improving yourself, and it's about giving to others. So, you know, the supplements, this is where you stock up. This is where you take advantage of the sale, and you get ready for those New Year's resolutions. This is where you line your medicine cabinet with all of the supplements you know that you need. This is where you make your new routine that you swear you're going to stick to for the whole year. And you have until January 1st to get all of this ready. So that's where the supplements come in. The self-betterment, the getting ready for your New Year's resolutions, your revolution in your own life to better yourself and through that, better the country and better those around you. But then the other side of it are the gifts, the t-shirts, the water filters, the air filters, the camping supplies, the survival supplies. You can find something for everybody on your Christmas list at InfoWarsStore.com. Don't go give your Christmas bonus to the big box transnationalist. Fight with the good guys, and we will appreciate it. We'll be right back.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
All right, folks, I'm not going to spend a lot of time previewing this because we want to watch the whole thing in the next two segments. So here it is, without any ado whatsoever, how Google took over the world. The must-watch full documentary can be found on band.video. Share this around. It's absolutely fantastic. Here it is, how Google took over the world.
Since the beginning of time, stories have been told of the hero's journey. But before the hero and before the journey, it all starts with one dude.
Liberty is rising. You understand how good it feels out here right now? You understand how high I am off being out here? This feels awesome. This is what it is to be alive, like our ancestors running around and stuff a lot colder than this, taking animals down and hauling them back to the women with big fires and a cage. Yeah, living. I'm out here bathing in the night. Forest bathing yesterday. This is what it's all about. I don't need drugs.
But this wasn't your typical run-of-the-mill dude, reading all the headlines like all the words were written in stone. This was Alex Jones, the most dangerous man on the internet. A man that journalists thought was so dangerous that it was in our best interest that he be silenced.
I'm talking about Alex Jones. He is the founder of InfoWars, and he is now feeling the heat himself. YouTube, Facebook, and Apple all announcing they're removing his content from their platforms. With me now, CNN Money's senior media reporter, Oliver Darcy. And you were just saying to me, you were surprised that they took this kind of action so swiftly.
Yeah, this happened very quickly over the past 24 hours. We've seen throughout the day, actually, tech platforms just basically remove Alex Jones from their websites.
Obviously, what he spews is hate, and it's abhorrent.
The problem with silencing someone like Alex is that the idea of him never goes away. It becomes cemented in history, and a legend is born.
You'll never, never defeat the human spirit! You'll never defeat God! You'll never win! Never! Ever! Never! Ever! Never! Ever!
I'm willing to do whatever it takes to stop you. And I hate your stinking guts. I can smell you from a thousand miles away.
You think you're strong. You think you're scary. God's wrath coming for you. The reason the enemy's so mad is he knows he's a loser.
You're dead as a doornail, dead as a rotting corpse at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean.
The reason they want to tear everything up and crap all of everything is they know they already failed, and they know they're ugly losers. This is where we get tested. So rejoice to God Almighty for this animated contest of liberty.
After being shut down, Alex decided it was time to go to Washington and face down those responsible and warn the American people.
You are incredibly shameful.
How are you doing, Alex?
You're just a look at you. Look like you are literally an anti-American, anti-free speech coward. Just look at this guy's eyes. That is who will ruin your life. He's even more evil-looking in person.
Something to think about the decisions that you make.
You can shut everyone down on Earth. No one will like you. You understand that? You'll never have billions and billions of fans and followers. You'll never have people that love you. Just look in those eyes. The hunger to silence America. The hunger to extinguish the First Amendment.
Right.
Smiling like a possum that climbed out of the rear end of a dead cow. You look like a possum that got caught doing some really nasty stuff. In my view. You're going to go down the history books at the Criminal News Network. I mean, look at those eyes, folks. If you want to see the eyes of a rat, look at the camera. Look at those eyes.
Google is evil. Google is evil. Google is
evil.
I think it's important for them not to comply with any efforts to sort of go after freedom of expression.
What about the Democrats purging conservatives?
He's
not answering.
Well, it's weird, man.
Oh, yeah, it's really weird. There's no purge of conservatives.
I don't know.
There's no shadow banning. Sundar, you will not silence the people.
There's Sundar Pichai right there.
Your censorship will not work anymore, Sundar.
Everybody should be. I support
here.
Going after.
I'm here, but you say I don't exist.
Is that a heckler or a press gaggle?
Look at this guy. He's saying that I don't exist, and they're
I just don't know who you are, man. I don't read your websites.
We're aware of your activities, trying to muzzle the American people and gaming your search results. Google is evil.
Do they need to be ready?
Marco Rubio, the snake.
This
little frat boy here.
All right, man.
Yeah.
Well, who are you?
Yeah,
who's
sure.
This guy? I swear to God, I don't know who you are, man.
You better hope you can deplatform me. Tens of millions of views.
InfoWars.
Bigger than Rush Limbaugh. He knows who InfoWars is.
But
playing this joke over here. That's why the deplatforming didn't work.
But here's a question.
Wait, don't touch me again, man. I'm asking you not to touch me.
Well, sure, I just patted you nicely.
I know, but I don't want to be. I don't know you, man. I don't know who you are.
It's not just good.
You're not
going to
get arrested, man. You're not going
to
get arrested. I'll take care of it myself.
Google is evil. Google is evil. Google is evil. You're not going to silence me. You're not going to silence me.
But there are people.
You are literally like a little gangster thug.
There are people in this country.
Rubio just threatened to physically take care of me.
Eventually, he found himself in the halls of the Senate with the eyes of the American people on him. He knew it was now or never.
Get the microphone, please.
Okay. You guys want to come around this way?
Come around.
Hey, you want to go this way?
Tell us why you're here today.
Okay, I'm going to tell you why I'm here.
Say sorry to Sandy Hook parents, Alex.
I am here because there is a concerted effort by the Democratic Party and multinational corporations and big tech to silence conservative and nationalist and populist voices ahead of this critical midterm election. Simultaneously, four major tech giants in 24 hours admitted they colluded, violating Sherman Antitrust Act 2, bare minimum, to deplatform me for more than 20 million subscribers total. People that chose to go click and link and listen to what I was saying and what I was doing. They told 20 million subscribers, you can't go listen to Alex Jones anymore. How un-American is that? What country have we turned into where the New York Times, the Washington Post, and CNN openly lobby to take me off every platform and openly lobby that anyone that talks about Alex Jones in a positive way will then also be blacklisted off the internet? You are now evil. You are aiding and abetting evil. The real election meddling is by Facebook and Google and others that are shadow banning people, that are outright banning people. So what these big tech giants have done is gotten away with murder, violating our rights, working with communist China, suppressing populations, and just doing incredibly evil things. But because they all pose as liberal trendies and wear, you know, funny socks, it's all supposedly cute. It's not. And the so-called press that went to journalism school is foaming at the mouth like mad Cujo dogs with rabies to tear the First Amendment apart. Remember this. You killed your profession by becoming nothing but mercenaries for the globalists, and people know that you're fake news, many of you. Now, with you trying to kill the First Amendment, you're making yourself true villains. God, you liberals are dumb. I mean, it's unbelievable, brother. You're dumber than a damn box of rocks, son. And we're getting ready to bust it all up. So keep laughing.
Alex,
we're going to find out, traitors. CNN is not just fake news. It's the criminal news network that works as a racketeering crime syndicate to openly shut down my media operations and other people's media operations. This is a criminal mafia that thinks they own this country. Judgment Day politically is here, and the attempts to intimidate the American people and the attempts to silence us and the attempts to bully me and others into submission to this globalist system are not going to work. And so that's why I'm here to expose this. I'm here to speak out about this, and I'm here to discuss the reality that there is an attempted purge of the First Amendment taking place in this country. The dominoes are falling. The First Amendment's being destroyed. But I think the corporate dying dinosaur media has bit off more than it can chew, and what you've done is only going to make people be that much stronger and fight for free speech that much more. Shame on the mainstream corporate media. Shame on the mainstream corporate media for not defending the First Amendment, but instead attack-dogging, calling for federal regulators to shut down independent free press working with big tech. You guys attempted bullying and reign of terror against the American people's coming to an end.
Very few were willing to stand up for old Alex Jones. Like a bunch of cold, wet mice, they were scared that they too would be silenced if they dared speak out.
What we're watching now in real time is this country become unfree. So the question is, who exactly is defending us in all of this? Us who might dissent from Mark Zuckerberg's view, or don't trust Mark Zuckerberg to control what we think. What about us? Who's standing up for us? Where are leaders in Congress? Where's the White House? Nowhere. As long as their accounts remain open, they don't seem to care. They're
I'll tell
fools.
You who's standing up for I free speech, Tucker Carlson. We are, and the Info Warriors are. We will return shortly to complete this documentary, How Google Took Over the World. Share that video, share that link at band.video.
Others were bathing in celebration and rejoiced in what they considered to be a victory in the never-ending fight between the left and the right.
We've had a standard in this country. If someone is using their speech poorly, you go to court. But you're advocating for billionaire guys in Silicon Valley to decide this all on their own, and you run a fucking media company?
Yes, I am.
And that's what you're advocating
for? Yes, I am.
I want them shut down. I want them silenced. I want them muted. I think they are horrible for our society.
The right to be on a platform, that is not free speech.
So you don't think that's not.
We have censorship because we need censorship. We do.
We're living in a time when the constitutional protection of free speech is being exploited and purposely misunderstood by people with nefarious motives.
Am I wrong, or did you just advocate for Mark Zuckerberg being able to do this on his own, or for Google or YouTube to be able to do this with
they
you?
Are allowed
did
to
you
have,
not just,
have a process.
So you're advocating
yes.
for in dark,
yes.
in secret.
Why is the court better than internal process?
Hey guys, let me cut in real quick. Wow. We just got taken down by YouTube. They just killed our stream.
So you're saying that an adversarial judicial process with an impartial judge which follows the law and the Constitution is not any better than Mark Zuckerberg and
Henry
Kissinger
separate.
In secret
totally
deciding
separate.
This
totally
shit?
Separate. Totally separate.
That's
totally
what you're separate. Saying?
Anytime they've considered banning him, the right wing cries about free speech violations, even though private businesses, again, can ban anyone they please.
It's why YouTube recommended videos by the conspiracist Alex Jones billions of times.
Private businesses can take action against us for saying anything they disagree with.
Dude,
I disagree with
I'm
this.
Fucking telling you exactly what you're telling me.
I disagree with
there's
on
no
Alex
defending
Jones
what you're defending.
No,
you're defending
no.
a
no,
opaque.
All right, folks, that is the documentary, How Google Took Over the World, as the must-watch full documentary available on Infowars.com, band.video, and it was by documentary maker, editor, Ping Trip, and that's Ping, like ping pong, Trip, but the Trip is an I. That's how you find his name, and absolutely fantastic. You can see that full thing, again, at band.video. Share that link around. I'd love to play the rest of it. Unfortunately, it's not quite radio friendly enough for us, which is unfortunate, but that's okay. We just got to go to band.video now. You just got to share that link now, and all will be resolved. Now, in the next segment, I will be joined by Tom Papert, who of course runs National File, regular guest on the Alex Jones Show, co-host of the latest show here on InfoWars, along with Will Johnson, and it's called Firepower News, and we're going to talk to him about just about everything. He always has a ton of good information about what's going on politically. And right now, politically, things are a jumble. Things are a mess. Things are going down fast. So I'll go ahead and talk about this now. This is incredible. And I want to make a little note here. I want to set a little reminder here for maybe 1 year from today, or maybe 1 year from January 1st, when these laws go into effect. Because I want to find out what effect this story will have on the state of Illinois. Here's the story. Food stamps in restaurants, gender-neutral bathrooms. These are among the 250 new laws coming to Illinois January 1st. So this is the socialist wet dream. This is the progressive agenda. This is the effect of voting Democrats into office. More laws, more rules, more restrictions, more regulations, more control over the people, the citizens who are just trying to live their lives and be free and build their family. Whatever they're doing, they need to be stopped. They need to be controlled. They need to be manipulated in a way that serves the insane ideology of the Democrats. So 630 bills were passed in a single year by state lawmakers there in Illinois, and Governor J.B. Pritzker signed all but nine of them. Really doing your job there, Governor. So here are just some of them. Who's this? Martwick says, this is State Senator Robert Martwick, Democrat of Chicago, says, quote, you can talk about all of the big hot button issues, whether it's Reproductive Health Act, $15 an hour minimum wage, or gaming expansion. So there are three. So Reproductive Health Act, let me translate that from progressive doublespeak. Abortion. Okay, that's abortion. So, okay, more abortion, free abortion for everyone. $15 an hour minimum wage. What does that mean? That means that jobs will be destroyed. That means that basically just, it's just if you don't understand the downstream effects of a 15-hour minimum wage, well, let's come back. Let's visit Illinois in a year and find out exactly what those downstream effects are. And then gaming expansion, of course, because we want more gambling, more vice, more laws. This is the perennial juxtaposition, the perennial hypocrisy of the progressives and the liberals. Here's another crazy thing. Now, this one's okay, except I'll tell you why the entire basis of it is incorrect. They are banning the use of artificial intelligence in video interviews, or at least they must follow new regulations, including getting permission in order to use artificial intelligence in video interviews. How would one use artificial intelligence in video interviews? Well, maybe in a way you have certain things where the AI is determining, you know, who's a better candidate. The problem is that they think AI is racist, and so you can't use AI because you might get racist results, and so they're going to ban that. That's the underlying reason behind this artificial intelligence ban, something I would be in favor of, except we don't have time to get into it, but that's a new law, so employers will have to deal with that. Employers can also no longer, get this, no longer can employers inquire into or use an arrest record as the basis for an employment decision. So somebody comes in to apply for a job. He seems great. He's well-dressed. He's clean-cut. He's professional. He speaks well. Everything looks good. But you flip open the criminal ledger of his, and you find that he robs banks or has diddled kids or something else. You go, whoa, I really don't want this guy with access to our information. I don't want this guy, you know, at a school with kids or whatever it is. No. No longer will you be able to use arrest records as basis for an employment decision. Thank you, Democrats. Thank you for helping the criminals get jobs, I guess. I mean, you know, criminals, if you served your time, you should have a chance to be integrated back into society. You should have a chance. I agree with that. But to not be able to use arrest records whatsoever as a basis of employment decisions is absolutely insane. They also cannot use arrest records to refuse to engage in real estate transactions. So, hey, if you don't want to live next to or you don't want to sell your house to a murderer, too bad. You have to let the criminals live next to you. Drivers also have to adhere to new laws such as banning on streaming video while behind the wheel. There are also updated regulations for schools, parents, the criminal justice system. That's nice and vague, so you know there's lots of regulations going in there. And that's just the start, folks. I'm not even halfway through this article. So we'll revisit this with Tom Papert in studio when we return. This is The David Knight Show. InfoWarsStore.com is how you support us. Band.video is where you find the entirety of that documentary, How Google Took Over the World. And I'll remind you, Google's saying used to be, don't be evil. Now it's not. That's not it.
Without the freedom to offend, there is no free speech. It's the David Knight Show. And now, your host, David Knight.
Harrison Smith sitting in for David Knight today. I am joined by my friend Tom Papert. Thank you so much for being here, Tom. You created this new platform called National File, and this is just the latest iteration of your internet presence, your conservative activism. Can you tell us a little bit about what inspired you to create National File? I love it. It's a fantastic platform. Great articles. You have some amazing writers on there. But again, this is just your latest thing. So what has sort of been your path as you've built up this sort of alt media empire that you now sit atop?
You're too kind, Harrison. Well, thank you so much. And National File, of course, is our brand new website. We launched back in August, so about four and a half months now. And basically, we kind of looked, and I don't mean to bash the competition, but we looked at what happens at the other big guys, the Daily Wire, the Breitbarts of the world, and they all seem very much afraid of engaging in culture in 2019. And I mean, it was Breitbart himself, Andrew Breitbart, who said that politics is downstream from culture. So our goal is to blend the news with cultural items. And of course, I used to be at a different website, Big League Politics. I used to do we used to have a website that was, the tagline was right-wing BuzzFeed. And so we finally came together, myself and all the writers, and we thought, you know, let's do something where we can bring the best of all these other platforms together, where we can break serious news, where we can have fun and be taken seriously. Except, I guess, you just informed me, and we were been fighting this in the back channels. I guess Cassandra Fairbanks pointed out that according to McAfee, the formerly great service, we are malicious. So apparently this is going to be the new battle. You have a antivirus company decide that your conservative news website is verboten. And so it's going to be a long, lengthy appeals process. I'm sorry if folks are going to National File right now and seeing that, but I promise there's no virus. There's nothing bad on the website. You just have an antivirus company deciding that we are bad people.
Malicious, I think they call it. They called you malicious. And I saw this. Actually, guys, if you want to pull it up, Owen Schroyer tweeted out a National File story because y'all did a response to a Vanity Fair story about Owen where they were claiming that he was a Nazi because he dresses well, right? Because dressing well and caring about your appearance is white supremacy these days. So y'all did a response to him. He posted that National File story, and Cassandra Fairbanks responded to him saying, with screenshots where it shows as if National File is some, you know, back page dark web site that's going to give you a virus. And to me, this is even, I mean, it's so insane. And we if we look back at the beginning of the year, it was all about NewsGuard. Mm. They were coming out with NewsGuard.
Don't like us either, let me tell you.
Of course not. But at least they were saying it's the, these are bad ideas. We call this fake news. And in that case, if you know what's going on, you can kind of go, this is BS. I'm going to bypass their restrictions. But the virus thing, I don't go on websites if my phone says it's a virus on it. Right. I'm like, oh, back up. Don't go on that. That's even crazier that they claim National File is a malicious or virus-ridden website with absolutely no basis whatsoever. It's insane.
Well, and let me say, we have some of the best tech people. I've got two guys. One guy manages like 15 different websites and tech security ads, that type of thing. There's no malicious ads. You're not going to get a redirect. You're not going to get anything if you can actually get through to National File. But, you know, you brought up NewsGuard, and I can't help but wonder if there's some overlap here. So let me kind of talk about our experience with NewsGuard. NewsGuard, of course, tried to get a hold of us. I willingly said, no, I'm not going to talk to these people. They're going to call us fake no matter what. Yep. So we've got an email on the National File page that says, you know, tips, corrections, whatever you want, email here. Well, they said we didn't have that. They flagged us for having like two writers who didn't have a bio section. Obviously, that means we're fake news. Meanwhile, so you brought up the Vanity Fair article. I go to Vanity Fair and, you know, I'm a journalist. So what I'm going to do is as I've got my editor writing the article, I go to Vanity Fair and my thought is, well, let's get a comment. Let's, you know, that's what you're supposed to do in the journalism world. You're going to go find a comment from the loser who wrote it. Well, the writer has her Twitter locked down. As these journalists so often do nowadays. You go to their website, they have three different emails. One is subscriptions, one is back orders, and one is like the press contact. So I start with the press contact, bounces back, invalid email address. I go to subscriptions, bounces back, invalid email address. I finally get letters to the editor at vanityfair.com, and that one goes through, but of course they don't reply to me. So you have us, National File, a website staffed by a bunch of 20-somethings that come from Big League Politics, Breitbart, Daily Caller, Free Beacon, Town Hall, all of these big websites. You know, we've got big, impressive names, I think. We are held to an entirely different standard from some some trash outlet that can willfully smear somebody like Owen Schroyer. I mean, just basic, obvious lies. They said he's from Texas, that he wears a cowboy hat on his show and a V-neck. What a weird look that is, by the way. A cowboy hat and a V-neck. I don't know if that's a Texas thing. I've never seen it before in my life. They claim that he's an adherent of Richard Spencer, who says to dress dapper. So it's fascinating. I mean, if McAfee wanted to be a real arbiter of who is reliable, if NewsGuard wanted to be a real arbiter of who is reliable, they would ban the New York Times, they would ban Vanity Fair, they would ban all these people. And I don't want them banned, but it just kind of shows the double standard that conservatives are living under. It used to be, you know, Matt Drudge went on Alex Jones years ago. Build your own platform. You're not safe on Facebook. You're not safe on Twitter. Well, that's been entirely true. But I don't know if he knew that they would then attack you on your own platform.
Right. No, the abuse of power is egregious. It's absolutely unacceptable as far as I'm concerned. I know you're working on that, so hopefully National File will be cleared from the masters, the gods at McAfee, who determine whether or not you're allowed to go to a website. And I just think it's amazing. I mean, National File really burst onto the scene, I feel, because it's a type of thing where suddenly I was seeing all these articles. I'd be on Twitter or whatever, and people I was following were posting articles, and they're writers, and it was just like you were able to get together this conglomeration of all of these really powerful writers and thinkers and debaters and people I already followed, and suddenly all of their stuff is on National File. So it's just a great website, and it's really just one of probably dozens of new conservative news sites that have been created this year. Just off the top of my head, the Bongino Report just came out. You have Discern, I think it's called. I think it's called Discern from it's the Babylon Bee founder created a news website. National File, of course. A dozen others have come out this year. At the same time, liberal media absolutely collapsing, laying off half their workforce, closing down entire sections of their publications. And this never gets talked about. It's talked about like the media itself is going down. That's not true. There's a sizable chunk of alternative media that is growing rapidly. InfoWars among it, Band.video, Brighteon, just all these, not just news sites, but delivery sites, social media sites. The right wing, the conservative side is exploding, and no one's even talking about it.
Well, so I think there's like two parts to this, right? First of all, the people who are the gatekeepers of the world, they don't consider us real news. They don't consider us content. They like to pretend we don't exist. So they don't even talk about the fact that InfoWars, a year and a half after being banned, is hiring people. They don't talk about the fact that you're launching new websites, that Alex is off in a battle tank going to Hillary Clinton events. They don't want anybody to know about this. The second part is, and I really have to thank the viewers. I mean the readers and the viewers as well. The reason why we're all growing at such a rapid pace at this point is because even after all the suppression, even after shadow bans where people go from reaching 20, 30, 40, 50 million people a month to 300,000, after all of this, people are still thirsty for right-wing, conservative, America-first, truthful content. And so it really says something. I mean, the globalists, they think that they can just, we're going to mark this malicious and that's the end of the story, but it doesn't work. People are thirsty for the truth and they're going to find it wherever they can.
To quote Alex Jones from the great documentary, How Google Took Over the World, you'll never defeat the human spirit. And it's true. That's what it takes. It takes the human spirit. It takes that indomitable, I'm going to get through this. I'm going to get around this. I'm going to find the truth no matter who or what stands in my way. So we thank the InfoWarriors out there, the National File readers out there. It's you sharing the links. It's you getting this information out that allows us to grow, allows us to expand in the face of this incredible domination and winnowing away that the globalist and the masters, the powers that be, are continually engaged in. Tom Papert is my guest. This is Harrison Smith on the David Knight Show. We'll be back after a short commercial break with more of today's top stories. Stay with us, folks. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Tom Papert joins me, Harrison Smith, on the David Knight Show. We're discussing the expansion of the conservative media, expansion of the alternative media, expansion of the populist right wing in the face of absolute domination by big tech companies media companies and all this sort of thing. Of course, InfoWars is constantly expanding new shows, which, of course, you are part of Firepower News, which is one of our new flagship shows, which is very exciting, along with Will Johnson. So we're doing great, and we're doing great because of the InfoWarriors like you out there going to InfoWarsStore.com, making purchases. And if you don't want to make a purchase, sharing a link is a fantastic way to help us expand in the face of the globalists. So we thank you for that, and we beseech you, do not give up. Humanity will win out against the technocracy and the censorship, but only if you don't give up, only if you keep fighting. They're simply looking for you to roll over, and just by not rolling over, you win. It's often really as simple as that. Now, before you came in, Tom, I was talking about this story. Food stamps in restaurants, gender-neutral bathrooms, among 250 new laws coming to Illinois on January 1st, which is just insane. Reproductive Health Act, $15 an hour minimum wage, a gaming expansion, meaning more gambling. You can no longer use arrest records to inquire about employment decisions or real estate transactions. I mean, it's just regulation upon regulation upon tax. There's a new program that allows food stamps to be used at restaurants, which, what? Okay, you know, I guess. And another, they're doubling the state's gas tax, $1 increase on a pack of cigarettes through taxes. And, of course, the most important thing, I think we can all agree, is that single-occupancy public bathrooms must now be gender-neutral. So, you know, thank God we now have appropriately transgender bathrooms in Chicago. And it's just absolutely insane. But this is what you get, I guess, for electing Democrats. You get a combination of increased vice, increased sleaze, while at the same time, massive increases in taxes and regulations and rules and just these, you know, busybodies telling you what to do. It's infuriating.
Well, I think Illinois and especially Chicago are a good example of one more regulation away from prosperity. I mean, They have some of the largest law books in the country. And some of the things you said, I mean, gender neutral bathrooms mandating this, using food stamps. Now, I'm always infuriated when I'm at the grocery store. You know, I work hard for my money and I see somebody using food stamps to buy steaks and lobster and everything else. Now it's going to happen not just at the grocery store line. It's going to happen when you're out at a restaurant, when you're at a steakhouse, and all of a sudden somebody's fishing out their food stamps. I mean, it's really bizarre. And again, you look at the wider perspective of what's happening in Illinois, what's happening in Chicago, and it is a terrible, terrible place to live. My heart goes out to the people who live there. One of my longtime viewers and fans sends me messages from Chicago all the time. You know, police scanner says I can't go on my way home because there's an active shootout there, or somebody will own a limo company out there, and it's okay, so we're redirecting the drivers away from this entire area of town because there's widespread violence. But don't worry, because now you're going to be able to get a job anywhere you want, regardless of how many people you've shot. You're going to be able to use your food stamps to buy steak, and you're going to be able to use whatever bathroom you want, it sounds like. And I do think it's interesting, Harrison. So I was watching Fox this morning before I came in, this post-conservative network, and I knew that there were some new laws. I didn't know anything that you discussed, because our allies, the true conservatives at Fox News, they just informed me that marijuana has been decriminalized or legalized, and that you can now be forgiven for a low-level drug offense. Say you had some marijuana on you, you got arrested 5 years ago. Well, it's about to be forgiven. So that's all I heard. And then I'm coming here and I'm listening to you before I came on the show, and I'm like, what?
Yeah. And all they talk about is how bad it is that they're making marijuana illegal. That's our so-called allies at Fox News. It's so absurd. And you know what? I want to go to this video. I'm going to throw the crew a curveball here. I want to go to this clip 11. "Tis the season to be thieving." It's a cell phone video. You folks may have seen this. Let's go to this now. "Tis the season, folks." For our radio listeners, what we're seeing are
stealing.
Are several young gentlemen just running out of a store with their arms literally full of stolen merchandise, and they're just flailing and fighting employees as they try to steal just as many goods as they possibly can. And this to me is kind of where we're at as a civilization, is that it's like, well, you know what? I don't want to have to, go through a metal detector every time I go into a store. I don't want to live in a worldwide prison, but if you want freedom, if you want liberty, if you want to be able to go into a store and walk around without having somebody follow you with a camera or facial scan you because, you know, everybody's just stealing stuff like crazy, then you have to act with a little bit of propriety. You have to show that you can live and be free and be virtuous and moral without the government having to stomp on your neck to keep you down. So this is just me sort of this is the downward spiral that Chicago is engaged in, making it easier for criminals to engage in criminality, making it more difficult to punish them. And this is what you get, is just a downward spiral, a feedback loop, essentially, of criminality. And what can we expect?
Well, I think that is, you laid it out perfectly. It's the degradation of society when people find out that there is no repercussions for acting in ways that not that long ago people would find abhorrent. I mean, I see this happen in my hometown, Wichita, Kansas, small city. People will run out, not to that extent, thankfully, but people will run out with arms full of coats from a Burlington coat factory or that type of thing. And you really do just sit there and think, you know, what happened here? Is it lack of fatherhood in the home? Is it the fact that they know they're not going to be punished for this? Exactly how did we get to this point in time? But, you know, you look at this and it's kind of emblematic. Just yesterday, of course, we had the IG report come out, and it's another one of these things where, you know, it lists how terrible everything was, how illegal seeming everything that was done was. And then at the end they say, but they didn't do anything wrong.
Yep.
And it's like with Hillary Clinton all the way back with James Comey, everything bad she did, all of the laws she broke, all of the policies that were violated,
but she didn't do anything wrong.
That's
so
right.
So we're going to let her go. Yeah.
And so when people see this on the national stage, I mean, when that is, these are our heroes and icons in both parties at this point, why not go steal a coat? Why not go beat somebody up and take their, take all their items and go running out the store? I think that it's really, the fall of Western civilization as much as it is the degradation of morals.
Yeah. And, you know, look at Dallas, the PD recently said, you know, we're basically not going to punish or investigate theft under something like $500. I know California has similar laws. So like when a liberal sees that footage of somebody going into a store, just robbing as much as they possibly can and running away, they think the problem is that that's illegal. The problem is that those poor young gentlemen will be punished for just trying to survive as they see it. So it's really just an endless cycle of tolerance, really. It's just like we just have to tolerate the destruction of everything we hold dear.
Well, that's right. And it comes down to, again, people like, you know, AOC and her fellow socialists who are now saying, oh, it's, you know, the demonization. And I'm no big fan of corporations. I think that we are, in general, enslaved by them. AOC is kind of right about that. But when she goes off and she says it's a great success that Amazon was going to bring 25,000 jobs to New York and instead they're bringing 1,500. And she says, see, we won. We defeated the evil corporation. You know, it makes people not understand that when you steal like that, you're not just hurting Jeff Bezos, you're not just hurting Mitt right. Romney or whoever did whatever they did to a Burlington Coat Factory, you're hurting the cashier behind the register, you're hurting the security guy at the door, you're hurting the guy in the warehouse who's loading up the truck. I mean, it all trickles back.
Yeah, and you're hurting yourself and you're hurting the country at large, because if you can't be trusted with freedom, you're going to get your freedom taken away. So treat it like it's something valuable and something that you want, something you want to maintain, and maybe we can keep this whole liberty and freedom thing going for a little bit longer. Can you hang out for a little longer? Can you hang out into the next hour?
Absolutely.
Okay, excellent. All right, Tom Papert is going to stay with me into the next hour of the David Knight Show. Of course, I have to mention again, InfoWarsStore.com. The 12 days of Christmas sale. Go there, do all your Christmas shopping, do all the shopping for all the supplements you need to start your workout regimen on January 1st. Get ready now so you can hit the ground running with those New Year's resolutions to better yourself and better your community and better those around you. 60% off Brain Force to help you start working at maximum capacity, 60% off Knockout to finally get the deep sleep that you need, that you know that you need, and that you're still not getting. Well, get it with Knockout at 60% off, up to 75% off, so many other fantastic products. So better yourself, better your community, find gifts for everyone in your family of all makes and models. It's all available there at InfoWarsStore.com at a fantastic discount. We'll be right back.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You may be asking yourself, what does Planned Parenthood have to do with transgenderism? Well, luckily, our very own Greg Reese has the answer. Here it is. Castration Incorporated, Planned Parenthood, and the Business of Transgenderism by Greg Reese.
For many of us, this idea of transgenderism seems brand new.
It is man!
But the movement we are seeing today was born 100 years ago. The founding fathers of this transgender movement were of the same culture as the eugenics crowd. The media push for transgenderism happened 60 years before Bruce Caitlyn Jenner. In 1952, George Jorgensen became the first American to undergo a sex change operation. After learning about the procedure in the U.S. Army, he went to Denmark, where he was given special permissions from the Danish Minister of Justice to undergo several sexual reassignment operations. George Jorgensen became Christine Jorgensen and was instantly taken in by Hollywood and made an advocate for the transgender community. Her influence through pop culture made transgenderism and sex change operations more normal and acceptable. We then see it in the universities. Gender identity research began in 1962 at UCLA, and the Gender Identity Clinic at Johns Hopkins was performing sex reassignment surgeries by the late 1960s. In 1969, the Marshall-Tanner study created the term precocious puberty, which is defined as a disorder and diagnosed when a child shows signs of puberty too soon. According to the study, too soon is age 8 for girls and age 9 for boys. Precocious puberty doesn't physically harm the child, and yet it was considered a disorder. Just 2 years later came the discovery of gonadotropin-releasing hormone, GnRH, what we know today as puberty blockers. And it was immediately prescribed to those diagnosed with precocious puberty to halt the natural hormonal process in their bodies. And why? Because two men wrote a paper that suggested it was emotionally bad for children to undergo puberty before everyone else. In 1980, the American Psychiatric Association's APA added gender identity disorder into the DSM-3, which opened the coffers of taxpayer healthcare funds to pay for sexual reassignment costs. Without FDA approval or any studies on the drug's long-term effects, they are injecting Lupron and other brands of puberty blockers into children, and doctors are being paid to prescribe them. In 2001, the makers of Lupron paid an $875 million settlement to the Department of Justice for giving illegal kickbacks to doctors in exchange for prescribing Lupron to their patients. This company is now the sixth largest independent biotech company in the world, with a revenue of over $32 billion in 2018. The company is also connected with the Clinton Global Initiative and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. In 2007, Boston Children's Hospital began transitioning children as young as 3 years old. From 2000 to 2014, gender-affirming surgeries have increased fourfold and up another 20% the next 2 years. Private funding of transgender issues increased eightfold during this time. From the Pritzker family, George Soros, Warren Buffett, and others. The Department of State has allocated over $30 million of taxpayers' money to advance this agenda.
That's right, folks. It's as crazy
Planned
as
Parenthood
it sounds.
Is now
that
the
is
second
the
largest
gender madness brought to you by Greg Reese of InfoWars. You can find that full video on band.video and InfoWars.com. Share that around, folks. People need to understand exactly how insane this is. People think it's just a matter of, oh, just treat people how they want to be treated. No. They're torturing kids.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, The David Knight Show.
Second hour of The David Knight Show begins. My name is Harrison Smith. I am joined by Tom Papert of National File, Firepower News, God Emperor Trump. There's nothing this guy doesn't do. And we are continuing to talk about the politics of the United States of America. As we speak, they are attempting to pass articles of impeachment in the House. We'll be getting some clips of that shortly. But I want to go back to yesterday when IG Horowitz testified in front of the Senate. Some fantastic clips coming out of that. Really, the insanity of the surveillance of the Trump campaign was on full display. And I want to go to this fantastic clip of Ted Cruz, the Cruz missile himself, absolutely laying down the truth about the FBI, the Department of Justice, and their pattern of abuse of power. Here he is, Ted Cruz.
Mr. Horowitz, thank you for being here. And I want to start by taking the opportunity to thank not only you, but the men and women of your team that are gathered here. I think the work that you've done in the Inspector General's office is incredibly important. Reading this report, this is a 434-page report that lays out what I consider to be a stunning indictment of the FBI and the Department of Justice, of a pattern of abuse of power. And I will say both the Department of Justice and FBI for decades have had a great many honorable, principled professionals with a fidelity to rule of law. And this indictment, I'm an alumnus of the Department of Justice. This pattern of facts makes me angry, and it makes anyone who expects law enforcement to be nonpartisan and faithful to the law, it should make them angry as well. Now, the press has focused on your specific conclusion that you did not find evidence of political bias. That's a judgment you have. I disagree with that judgment. But I think that judgment is, in many ways, the least significant component of this report. I think the facts that are in this report need to be understood, and they should be deeply chilling to anyone who understands the facts in this report, and then people can draw the inference as to why that pattern of abuse occurred.
So there's Mr. Ted Cruz doing a great job. You know, some of the Republicans are really coming into their own and impressing me during these hearings, and I think he's exactly right. But Tom Papert, what are your thoughts on the IG report that came out recently?
Well, you know, I predicted it. Alex Jones predicted it. I'm sure David and Owen and everybody else predicted it, that this would be a repeat of what we've seen in the past, where they're going to say, it's terrible. Look at all these bad things that happened. Look at all the lack of procedure that was followed. Look at all the lies that have been exposed. But nobody did anything wrong. Nobody's in trouble for this. And that was the initial takeaway. But when you actually look and you go through sentence by sentence, line by line, and you look at all of the lies, not just or all of the abuses that were not just in the report, but then all of the lies that were employed by the media. I mean, we have had CNN, MSNBC, all of the usual suspects, New York Times, all of them have said that the dossier, the dirty dossier, they call it now. I have my own word for it that we can't say on television. but this dossier had nothing to do with the FISA, nothing to do with any of this. It was just it was a small percentage of the overall evidence. Well, now we know that it was the entire reason why all of this started. All of this insanity the country has been put through for years comes from Russian agitprop that was given to a Brit that was paid for by Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign. So it's over the top insane. It will be interesting to see what comes up from A.G. Barr. I don't have a lot of faith in the man. He has a very interesting backstory, A.G. Barr, or at least his father does. His father hired Jeffrey Epstein, of all people, to teach at a prep school for young women. He also, Barr's father, wrote a bizarro science fiction novel in which he fantasized about an alien breeding program to create the master race, which is basically what Jeffrey Epstein was doing in, I believe it was Arizona. So I don't necessarily have a lot of faith in Barr. I want to believe that the apple falls far, far, far from the tree. So it'll be interesting to see what he and Durham come up with theoretically today or tomorrow. They've been forecasting the end of the week, as well as Rudy Giuliani, what he comes up with. And Harrison, there's one thing, you mentioned it briefly. We're in a very strange time. I never thought that I would be rooting for the likes of Rudy Giuliani, Ted Cruz, A.G. Barr, all of these people who you look at them and they seem like they're deep state. They seem like, you know, with Ted Cruz, we all remember he called the CFR a pernicious den of snakes. And you go and you Google and his wife is in the CFR. So it's very bizarre, all of these people that are now coming out to defend the president and ostensibly the country and stave us off from total tyranny.
Right.
But I'm cautiously optimistic, I guess I'll say.
Yeah. And I mean, really, the sad thing is that, as you point out, we knew all of this for so long, and it's like we have to wait for years for this Inspector General report to come out. And it's like, okay, great. Now we're, you know, we should have been on this level for the last 2 years. We could have had something happen. We had to wait for this whole time. And then it's kind of a dud when it arrives anyway. You're right. I'm not holding my breath for anything to come out. It's not going to be, in my opinion, something from the government that actually fixes this thing. So it's going to have to be, people power. It's going to have to be the populace actually making massive changes on a systematic scale. And one of the other things that I thought was so interesting was, and I think Lindsey Graham pointed it out yesterday, was that if you even just take the report at its face value, it's obvious how the FBI treated things was as if they were looking for an excuse to enact this spy program. So when George Papadopoulos apparently goes to Australia and tells them that Russia asked the Trump campaign if they wanted to help them, if they really were concerned about national security, if they really were concerned that the Russians were influencing whatever, then they would have brought them in for questioning. They would have gone to the Trump campaign and said, hey, we think you're trying to be infiltrated. They would have done steps that made the Trump campaign aware of it, all this other stuff. But they didn't do that. They used it as an excuse to start the spying campaign. And so let's go to this clip now. This is Lindsey Graham talking about the unlawful FISA surveillance.
Okay, so let's play this out. They never told Trump about the concerns. Is it fair to say there came a point to where surveilling Carter Page became unlawful?
I will let the court decide that. The court has this report and will make that decision.
Let's put it this way. If you don't have a legal foundation to surveil somebody and you keep doing it, is that bad?
Absolutely.
Is that spying?
It's illegal surveillance. It's not court authorized.
Whatever illegal surveillance means, they did it.
That's great. It's like you got to break it down to the simplest things. They can't lawyer talk, weasel their way out of it. It's like, if it's illegal, is it unlawful? And they'll finally be like, God, yes, darn it. Yes, that's true. It's insane.
It really is. Well, you know, and again, that's another one. Senator Lindsey Graham, of all people.
Right.
You know, I miss the days when Trump was leaking his phone number on Twitter. That was a lot of fun. But, you know, at the same time, you look at this, and so the Senate is doing a decent enough job with IG Horowitz. It remains to be seen. I mean, Lindsey is now saying he will not call Hunter Biden to testify. He will not call Shifty Adam Schiff to testify. He's not going to do anything to fight impeachment, really. So it's very interesting. I am hoping for the best and mentally steeling myself for the worst. I think what you said is accurate. You cannot trust the government to self-correct on its own, and we need a massive political, legal, and lawful revolution in this country. We need 500 Trumps going to Washington in different offices.
Right, and you know, we are seeing that. We're seeing more people on the alternative run for Congress and try to get institutional power. I think that's exactly what we need to be doing. We need to, you know, it's okay to take a page here or there from the socialist progressive page book in terms of, let's not just abandon the system to its machinations. Let's take it over. Let's get in there and change it for the better, change it for liberty, change it for, to destroy corruption rather than just abandoning it. So we are seeing that, and that's a good thing. But as of now, yeah, it's like you don't know who to trust. You don't know who's actually doing what they say they're doing. Barr is coming out and giving these interviews where he's like, I'm here to clean the swamp, and that's what I'm going to do. And he talks very tough, but, we've been hearing trust the plan, and the IG report will wrap it all up. And of course, that's an utter failure. But, whatever, we continue on. We know the truth. We know what's going on. We know the reality of the situation. We're giving the government a chance, their last chance to solve it themselves before we have to get involved. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We are back with the David Knight Show. The coffee is steaming. The traffic is moving along on this bright and cold morning. And of course, the Democrats are trying to destroy the country like they always do. At this moment, the House Judiciary is debating orders of impeachment, articles of impeachment. They're calling it the markup. Tom Papert, of course, joins me from National File. You were telling me they're calling this the markup. They're basically deciding exactly what they feel like impeaching Trump for. And, of course, we were mentioning some absolute fantastic defense being played by the Republicans over the last month or so. And some of the stars of these proceedings have been Matt Gaetz, been Doug Collins, have been Jim Jordan. They're just absolutely on fire. So this is Doug Collins. He doesn't even let Nadler get through his opening statement before pointing out what a sham this entire operation is. This is Doug Collins issuing a point of order.
And so I continue my point of order.
If I understand the gentleman's point of order, he asserts we are violating Clause 2J1 of House Rule 11 by conducting this markup before we have held the hearing that the minority members requested on December 4th. In my view, the gentleman is claiming a broader privilege than Clause 2J1 actually provides the minority.
Yeah, so he's basically saying you don't get a say in these impeachment hearings. They get to call whatever witnesses they want. They get to have as long as they want, as many hearings as they want to tell their side of the story. But if the Republicans want to bring somebody in, if the Republicans want to tell their side of the story, they get shut down. This is abuse of power.
That's absolutely right. I mean, it was I believe it was actually Doug Collins who yesterday said, if you in 5 years are wondering what happened to minority rights in the House, you will forever think back to this impeachment where the Democrats, because they are the majority, are going to run roughshod over the Republicans, even though it's not like they have a massive majority, going to run roughshod over the Republicans, do whatever they want, and damned be any semblance of actual democracy or Republican government. One thing that I've noticed, Nadler, I mean, he's never exactly looked like a pinnacle of health, and I'm slightly under the weather. I probably don't look great myself, but my goodness, you put him next to Doug Collins, and Collins looks like he's at the peak physical performance. He looks smart. He looks intelligent. He's on point. And then you have Nadler, who his face is sagging. He looks green to the color. I mean, that's such a glaring comparison of freedom fighters versus the entrenched swamp in Washington.
Yeah, and I commented on Twitter. It looks like somebody put him in grayscale, right? They turned down the saturation on Jerry Nadler's face, and of course he was passing out and twitching not too long ago. There's video where they zoom in. You can actually see him drooling as he's sitting on the bench. I mean, it's like these people are like malfunctioning golems just being sat up there to do the will of their globalist masters. And you even have a moment where Matt Gaetz was speaking yesterday or the day before, and this guy sitting next to Nadler has to like point at the gavel and tell Nadler, you need to gavel him down. And this guy is a counsel. He's unelected. So you have unelected people up there, just, whatever, Harvard professors or whoever they are, sitting up there and literally like telling, I mean, they might as well have strings on his arms. And he's the one making Nadler gavel when Nadler is too brain dead and zonked out to even understand what's going on. So it's like, it's beyond parody. It's beyond anything we've ever seen before. Thank God we have people like Doug Collins and Jim Jordan up there pointing out how much BS this entire charade is. So here's a quick clip of Jim Jordan just calling out the House Judiciary and the Democrats for the insanity of what's going on here. Jim Jordan.
This amendment strikes Article 1 because Article 1 ignores the truth. Four facts, five meetings. We've talked about it now for 3 months. We've known that there have been four facts that have not changed, will not change, will never change, and we've known it since September 25th when the call transcript was released. The call transcript shows no quid pro quo. What's interesting is the day the transcript came out, even Chairman Nadler said there was no quid pro quo in the call transcript. We know, second, that the two individuals on the call, President Zelensky, President Trump, have both said no pressure, no pushing, no linkage whatsoever between security assistance money and any type of announcement of an investigation. We know that the Ukrainians knew at the time of the call, didn't know at the time of the call, that the aid had been held up. And most importantly, we know the Ukrainians took no action, no start of an investigation, no promise to start an investigation, no announcement on CNN, via tweet, no announcement whatsoever that there was going to be any type of investigation into Burisma or the Bidens to get the aid released. Those four facts have never changed.
Yeah, so Jim Jordan just absolutely demolishes their entire the foundation upon which they've built impeachment. But we've known that they've wanted to impeach Trump since before he was in office. They've tried everything. This just happens to be the thing that they've glommed on and feel like they can present as a legitimate impeachment cause. But it's the entire thing is bullcrap. So what are you going to do?
Well, the big difference between now and 2017 or early 2018 is that the Democrats have a majority. And so you're right. They've been saying they're going to impeach President Trump since before the man was even inaugurated. They knew they'd find something. They knew they could find some way to get rid of him. And so now they have the majority. So now they're going to do it. And of course, this is all just a thinly veiled attempt to weaken him come 2020. They'll say, oh, he was impeached in the House. And the Senate, in a partisan fashion, acquitted him. I mean, it's rather disappointing. And one thing that I've been saying, and there is still time, if you live in one of these districts with a House Democrat who won in 2018 in a district that President Trump carried in 2016, legally, lawfully, politically, get your cell phone, make sure you go sideways so the video looks better, and go confront these people. Ask them, you know, do you realize that by voting to impeach President Trump, you are going to lose your job come 2020? Because, Harrison, that's one of the big things. I mean, we've identified a national file, 26 vulnerable Democrats who there is absolutely no way, so long as President Trump is on the ballot in 2020, will have a job come 2020, especially. I mean, they might cling. They'll win by 0.5% if they do not vote to impeach.
Right.
If they vote to impeach, these people are out of luck. They're out of a job. They can go back to flipping burgers at McDonald's or wherever these Democrats came from. So
sitting on the board at Monsanto. But yeah,
that's right. That's right. So it's very frustrating to see all of this happen. One thing I do want to point out is Jim Jordan. You look at that man and he's animated. He could never even manage to keep his suit coat on.
Yeah.
He's always just flailing and his hair is a mess and he has three different shirts and two different ties. That there seems to be a maxim in politics, especially in Capitol Hill. The worse somebody is dressed, the better they represent their constituents.
That's great. I know there's a YouTuber called John Ward that made me realize or always talks about the fact that Jim Jordan was like a state champion wrestler and he beat the guy who won the Olympic gold medal in wrestling. So he's essentially like the best combat like fighter in the world at a certain point. And now here he is fighting for the American people. He's such an impressive character along with Matt Gaetz and Doug Collins. And they're really they're the Spartan 300 holding off the Persian horde of these Democrat monsters trying to overrun our quaint little republic that we've been able to build here. Well, Tom Papert, thank you so much for joining me. It's been an absolute pleasure. Of course, nationalfile.com is the website that everyone needs to go to and share and get this information out there. Get around the censorship. Get around the just absolute destruction that the left is rotting on us. And spread National File. Spread God Emperor Trump. And tune in to Firepower News. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Harrison. It's been a lot of fun.
Absolutely. All right. We'll be back on the other side with Peter Diabroska. Of course, his star is rising, and we will discuss immigration with him. Don't go anywhere, folks.
Defending the American dream. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Warning. Warning.
The following information has not been approved by the Trust and Safety Council. X viewing or disseminating this content may result in a reduction of your social score.
X minus one.
This change will be instant and permanent and cannot be appealed. If this material was sent to you by private message or posted on a public page, click the report button or call the U.S. Hate Crime Hotline to alert the authorities. Your biometric information, including heartbeat and facial expression, may be recorded by your device while viewing this broadcast. This message brought to you by the Independent Oversight Board.
Did it get hot? I got hairy legs.
Sometimes they're beginning to buy the conspiracy theories.
America is awake.
What about microchipping your child?
Give me a f***ing gun, I'll shoot you.
I would f***ing die for Trump 2020. I would die for him.
Are so effective because they don't have to be false. It can be true information, but it's misallocated.
You tell me that it's too much to ask to be a human being.
All right, folks, welcome back to the David Knight Show. It is the 12th of December. It's a Thursday. My name's Harrison Smith. That was a little intro I put together for a show that I do called Off Limits News, which usually happens every day at around noon. That may be noon mountain time, depending on how early I wake up. But I try to take the top five stories of the day and produce a little podcast, little video every day at around noon. It comes out. I did a much longer report called Eagle 2, broke down a leaked document that totally blew the lid off of the deep state, the formation of the deep state, and the way it has progressed over the decades. And so I invite you to go to band.video and go to my show page or my my personal page, Harrison Smith band.video, and you can see the past episodes, and that's where you can find new episodes as they arrive. And of course, I'm sort of taking this week off because I was kicked off of YouTube not too long ago because there was a Media Matters article written about me as well as others. It mentioned several creators that used InfoWars material in their videos. And they claimed that this was ban evasion. And so they wrote an article about it. Media Matters did. Later that day, my channel was deleted. Of course, they also mentioned Paul Joseph Watson, Millie Weaver, and a couple others. But I think I was just the one that was small enough that they could just eliminate me without causing a big uproar. So that's what they did. So I'm a little bit tepid. I'm a little bit I'm not uploading anything from InfoWars to the Off Limits page as of now. So since I'm doing the David Knight Show this week, it's been a break from Off Limits News because it's not fun getting kicked off of YouTube. It's really a pain in the butt, and I'm slowly but surely building up an audience, and I don't want that snipped at the bud like it was last time. So no new shows this week, but next week they'll start up again. And for the meantime, you can go back and watch the previous episodes. Offlimits.news is the website, but it has nothing to do with InfoWars. If the YouTube executives are watching, it's got nothing to do with InfoWars. If Susan Wojcicki is tuned into the David Knight Show, Susan, it has nothing to do with InfoWars. Leave it alone. Stop destroying my online presence just because I work at InfoWars. But, you know, to those InfoWarriors out there, You know, on a completely different note, on a note that has nothing to do with Off Limits News, you know, we do have a lot of great reporters here at InfoWars. Everybody from Jake Lloyd to Greg Reese to Caitlin Bennett to Millie Weaver to Savannah Hernandez to, did I already say Greg Reese? I think I did. I'm saying it again. Greg Reese to Owen Schroyer to Will Johnson to Tom Papert. It's like all of this and more. And have I mentioned Alex Jones? You support all of us and all of them by going to InfoWarsStore.com. And this is the way that we do it. It's a slog. It's difficult to try to make your own living, to try to build your own channel just by yourself, especially if you're starting from zero. It's almost impossible with the controls and the algorithmic reduction that they have now. It's almost impossible to get going from the ground up. That's why InfoWars is so valuable. And it's the hub. It's the main, it's the headquarters. It's the mothership. Where we all shoot out of, like the TIE fighters to take on the Empire. Wait, I'm mixing up my Star Wars metaphors. Andrew Tate will correct me later when he's in studio. He hates Star Wars. We're going to debate about it. It'll be fun. But you know, myself and all these other fantastic reporters from InfoWars, David Knight included, we are all supported from InfoWarsStore.com. So this is the method, this is the path forward into the future. Decentralization is fantastic, and that really is what we represent. But at the same time, the more fractional we are, the more difficult it becomes to support everybody. If you have 10 reporters that you like their work, it's just more of a pain in the butt. It's more of a you know, a drag to have to go to each one of them and join their Patreon, or go to each one of them and super chat them on YouTube or whatever. How much more efficient is it if we can all be under the umbrella of InfoWars, and you go to InfoWarsStore.com, you get a great product, you're not just giving us money for free, you're getting something back that's tangible, real, and valuable. You get that as well as support all of us here at InfoWars, not just one of us, not just Alex, but all of us and everything that we do as we take it to the enemy. And you know they fear us. You know they fear us. And I'll tell you one of the main reasons they fear us. It's because we have the power, the sacred power, to bring to the audience's attention, to the wider national attention, people that would otherwise have a much harder time getting to the attention of the national audience. So, quick story, just mere weeks ago, I was sitting in for Owen Schroyer on the War Room, and I was told we have a gentleman, he's a guest, he's running for Congress, his name is Peter Diabroska. And I'd heard his name, and I was like, yeah, that sounds familiar, you know, but let's just hear what he has to say. He's running for Congress, I'll ask him what his platform is. So we have this interview. I think I extended the interview even longer than it was supposed to go. And by the end, I'm like, I'm ready to knock on doors. I'm ready to canvass for Peter Diabroska because he so clearly has his finger on the pulse of the nation and understand what we need to do to make America great again. And so how happy was I to see him then on Tucker Carlson being introduced to a wider national audience than we can offer here at InfoWars. His star is rising. He's gotten a ton of attention from this Tucker Carlson interview, and he's making the most of it. And so I'm happy. I'm honored to welcome back to the program Peter Diabroska. Thank you so much for joining me, Peter.
Hey, thank you for having me back. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've been so impressed with the way that your star is rising, as I say. What has the reaction been overall for you? Has it been positive, or have you gotten a tidal wave of hate ever since going on Tucker Carlson? What's been the reaction?
It has been overwhelmingly positive. Now, I was never worried about what the left was going to say. And, of course, you know, they've smeared me as a white nationalist, despite the fact that I'm mostly an Arab and so on, right? But the reaction I was interested in really learning about was the reaction from ordinary conservatives about this sort of not new but now recycled idea of an immigration moratorium. And it turns out, as I thought when I began campaigning, ordinary conservatives are all aboard on the immigration moratorium idea. They understand that the donor class and the political elites in Washington, D.C. are replacing their kids in the workforce.
Yep, you know, they understand that this is the main issue and that there's no such thing as half measures. They won't work. We got to go full bore. More on the other side with Peter Diabroska. All right, we're back, folks. We're not going to waste any time on getting right back into this discussion with my guest, Peter Diabroska. You can follow him on Twitter at PDiabroska. You can join his campaign for Congress at PeteForNC.com. He's running for the 7th District of North Carolina. He has my full support. I wish I lived in North Carolina and could vote for him. But, Pete, I sort of had to cut you off there as we went to commercial break. But you're talking about just the overwhelming positive reaction to what many on the liberal side would like us to believe is an extremely radical and dangerous idea, which is really just a return to form. It's a return to common sense immigration policies from days past. You just want to get back to that common sense. So I'm sorry if you could finish your thought on just the positive response from conservatives.
Sure, yes. I've gotten thousands of messages, Harrison, from people all across the country saying, please keep going. Please keep, you know, bringing these ideas into the public debate. This is what we need. And you know, you're right to note that this is not something that's brand new. I mean, for half of the 20th century in America, we had an immigration moratorium from 1920 to 1965. So this is a time whose idea, it's an idea whose time has come back around. It's an idea that I think the American people are ready for. They understand the two major arguments against mass legal immigration. One of them is obviously the demographics argument. So when you bring in legal immigrants, which we bring in about 1 million a year, 3/4 of them, 75% of them, are voting for Democrats.
Right.
So, I mean, we are on the fast track to Texas going blue. We're on the fast track to Arizona going blue, Florida, North Carolina, and so on. When that happens, we will never, as conservatives, win a presidential election again, and congressional seats are going to become far more difficult to come by. By the way, news media outlets like the New York Times are bragging that demographic change is shifting how election results turn out. They did this just last month when the Virginia legislature was taken over by Democrats. The New York Times wrote a piece saying that it was because of voter demographics. Well, mm-hmm. Of course it was.
I mean, yeah, it's a racist conspiracy theory until it's true, and then it's great, and it needs to be celebrated, right. And you can't question it. It's right. The same process.
When the New York Times writes it, it's statistics. When we say it, it's white supremacy. That's obviously the first reason why people understand that the moratorium needs to happen. The second reason is purely economic, right? So, ever increasingly, we are replacing, at the behest of the corporate donors of the GOP, working class Americans from doing, you know, low skilled jobs by foreigners who come here on visas that seem to never, you know, expire, despite mm-hmm. the fact that we have caps on these visa programs. I mean, just look what they're doing right now. They're trying to ram another visa program down our throat with the farm workers. And at the same time, The voters understand that that not only are working class Americans being affected by this, ever increasingly upper middle class Americans are being affected by this. So I said this on Tucker's show. We keep adding now high skilled worker visas, particularly in the tech industry, because the tech industry donates so much money to all of our politicians. They want cheap foreign labor. They want students, particularly from Asia, who will come to America, study here on a visa, and then get a green card to go work for them for longer hours and for cheaper than an American worker would. So ever increasingly, this is affecting people, American citizens, who decide, hey, I want to go to college because that's the path to upward mobility. Yeah. Now, make no mistake about it, Harrison, this is going to hurt us in the long run if we don't stop it. And also, by the way, this is a point that I haven't made yet, but I'm glad I'm going to get the chance to make it now. If you look at the arguments that conservatives typically use against illegal immigration, you know, why we should close the borders for illegal immigrants, those are the exact same arguments that can be made for halting legal immigration as well. Mainly that mass immigration suppresses wages and replaces the American workforce with foreigners. So I don't understand how the GOP can claim that they are against illegal immigration, but say that they are for legal immigration, despite the fact that the ramifications are the same.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think you are on the forefront of this wave, of this realization that I hope more people are having. And it's something I've argued for a while. Which is no more half measures, no more just, you know, the conservatives were constantly just, oh, we'll just give a little bit, we'll give a little bit, we'll give a little bit, and please just, can you please just maybe tamp down a little bit on the illegal immigration? And they're just like, no, no, no way. And so it's like, no, no, you know what? We need to be forceful. We need to be out in front. We need to say, no, not only do we not want illegal immigration, we don't want legal immigration, and we're not just gonna, you know, keep our hands behind our backs and you know, thank the liberals for whatever crumbs we can get. We need to push this forward and be aggressive in this stance of we want our country to maintain its quality of life and progress to a higher level. We don't want to just live off the scraps of the rest of the world. So I think you're exactly right. And you mentioned this House Farm Bill that is absolutely insane. And there's a great clip of Andy Biggs, and I'll play that later, but I don't want to take up any more time because we don't have that long with you. But it provides a process for undocumented farm workers to seek a temporary 5.5-year certified agricultural worker status if they've worked for approximately 6 months in the industry in the last 2 years. So 6 months over 2 years. This is essentially amnesty by any other name, and it's insane, but it goes by under the noses of everybody while we're all distracted by impeachment and the IG report.
Yeah, that's right. Impeachment theater is what I call it. It's basically a soap opera, right? One point I want to make that you touched on, it's time for Republicans to go on offense, right?
Yep.
We've been on defense for as long as I can remember. It's time for us to stand up and say, hey, look, we're done defending ourselves against these false accusations of liberals. And we're going to go on offense. We're going to implement our agenda for once. And very importantly, this is a very important note, it only takes one person to get that ball rolling. If you look at the proof is in the pudding. Look at what AOC did when she snuck in and won that primary. Look what she did to the left. She pushed them further to the left, right? Because every day she squawks about how the Democrats aren't far left enough. Well, that's my plan for when I get into Congress, except opposite, right? I'm going to look at every GOP member of Congress and ask them why they are not doing their jobs, keeping their promises, until they are publicly shamed into implementing a pro-America, pro-closed borders agenda.
Yeah, and of course, the other major difference is you aren't a puppet by big, you know, multimillionaire donors who simply identify use algorithms to identify a vulnerable district with high minority, voting and then go in and manipulate it and get some unknown woman into office who can spout nonsense. You've been in the game for a while. You know what you're talking about. You're truly grassroots.
That's
and not
right.
A puppet of anybody or any big corporations. Corporations hate what you're doing. The government hates what you're doing, but you're doing what the American people want. You're saying what the American people are thinking. And you're right. You, by yourself, with the support of your constituents, the support of the American people, we can really make a change and correct ourselves before heading down the path to disaster. Now, people I know can go to PeteForNC.com and they can follow you on Twitter at PDiabroska. How else can people volunteer for you? What do you need people to do to help your campaign inside North Carolina or outside?
Sure. PeteForNC.com is the website. That's the best place you can go to find me. That's where you can sign up for my email list. You can also email me at PeteForNC@gmail.com if you'd like to campaign for me. I've gotten probably 50 or so emails, people willing to volunteer. I'm putting together a coalition of folks who are going to be able to call through all of the primary voters in this district and discuss with them my ideas. If you'd like to be part of that effort, please feel free to email me. It's the same it's the same as the domain name for the website, PeteForNC@gmail.com. And that's where I can hook you up with our volunteer coordinator, and we'll get to talking to everybody in this district before our race is over.
Excellent. Pete Diabroska, he is running for Congress in the 7th District of North Carolina. And hopefully, you know, if we had more people like Pete in the House, we wouldn't be passing these large scale amnesty bills at the behest of massive corporations, be they agriculture or tech, low wage or high wage. It's destroying the nation, and we need to put a stop to it. Now, Pete, of course, you're going to get the accusation of being a white supremacist. It just comes with the territory of trying to defend your country. What do you say to people who accuse you of that sort of thing?
Well, at this point, Harrison, I just blow them off. And I think that that's honestly the best course of action for all of us. The way that they've smeared us as racist and white supremacists for all these years, at this point, it just has no effect. I mean, the term racist has completely lost its meaning. It no longer means that you want racial supremacy. It rather means that you're winning an argument against the Democrat. So if you're calling you those names, it's likely that you're over the target. It's likely that, you know, you're talking about things that are important to conservatives. So I'd say blow them off and keep going.
That's the way to do it. See, we need more people like Pete in Congress, and you can help by going to PeteForNC.com. Twitter again, Pete Diabroska. Support him. If you're in North Carolina, vote for him, and maybe we can save this country. Thank you so much for being with us, Pete.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, your host, David Knight.
Harrison Smith sitting in for David Knight on this Thursday, the 12th of December, 2019. Thanks so much for being with us. The third hour of the David Knight Show has begun. In the last segment, I was joined by Peter Diabroska. We talked about this amnesty bill that got slipped through the House while we were all distracted by the impeachment charade and the IG report. And I wanted to play this clip. And I want to just let the whole thing play, not interrupt it. This is Representative Andy Biggs on his opposition to the amnesty bill. Take it away, Mr. Biggs.
This bill creates a new pathway to legal status for illegal aliens who have been working in the agriculture industry in the United States. Any alien who merely applies for legal status under the program, whether they are truly eligible, will immediately receive work authorization, protection from removal, and the ability to travel outside the United States. Those who meet the requirements will be rewarded with pathway to lawful permanent resident status and ultimately citizenship. Foreign nationals around the world wait years and spend thousands of dollars to receive those same benefits. This legislation is an unacceptable slap in the face to all those who follow our immigration laws. Worse still, this legislation does little to root out fraud, instead blatantly incentivizing it. The ability to receive work authorization and other benefits upon application will likely lead many individuals to submit applications even if they are not eligible. But they will have no fear of doing so because there are no penalties attached. Aliens can withdraw their fraudulent application without prejudice to any further application. This legislation also condones and turns a blind eye to instances of immigration fraud by waiving inadmissibility for aliens who previously tried to fraudulently gain legal status or falsely claim to be U.S. citizens. The other concerning provisions is that it creates a new grant program to assist eligible applicants, illegal aliens, with applying for this newly created immigration status. It prohibits use of E-Verify to check a new hire's employment eligibility until that person is actually hired, and requires use of the program in a way that demonstrates a fundamental misunderstanding of the mechanics of the E-Verify system. It allows aliens to prove work history with only a sworn affidavit from someone who ostensibly has direct knowledge of their work history. It fails to impose any real penalty for months and years of illegal work, and it fails to impose any real penalty on employers who knowingly violated U.S. law for their own benefit. At a time when our immigration system is rampant with illegality, when we have little control over our southern border, and there are crisis levels of individuals trying to illegally immigrate, we should not be promoting legislation that rewards years of illegal behavior. For these reasons, I oppose this legislation and urge my colleagues to do the same. With that, I yield back.
All right, so that was Representative Andy Biggs talking about the amnesty bill and his opposition to it, which I think should be common sense, but there you go. It gets passed through the House with little or no fanfare because I think the media knows just how widely unpopular that would be. So that's the world that we're living in. And, you know, I guess it's up to us to change it and vote in people like Peter Diabroska into office. Now, I would like to welcome Andrew Tate to the studio. You can follow him on YouTube, Tate Speech, Twitter, Tate Speech, and his Instagram at Cobra Tate.
That's right.
And we're gonna break down all sorts of nonsense today. Megan Rapinoe. Maybe we'll get into Star Wars
a little bit. I don't know if you want to start me off on Star Wars, but
I haven't heard what the issue is with Star Wars. Maybe we will start with that. The greatest trilogy ever produced.
Is it?
In America. It is. It certainly is.
Well, I'll be honest. I've never actually seen Star Wars.
Well,
I've come out as like a big anti. What happens is I've never seen Star Wars. And every time I say I've never seen Star Wars, people say, oh, you've missed out.
Right.
And my answer is pretty much like, I've lived a very fantastic life. I've done amazing things. I really don't feel like I've missed out for not seeing a movie.
Right. I saw that.
Yeah. And I tweeted it and it went insane.
Well, hey, you mess with the cultural icons of America, and the dorks get mad.
They do get mad. And I, the thing is with Star Wars, the hype is so intense, yeah, and people's love for it is so violent. There's no way that a movie can possibly live up to that kind of,
yeah,
thing. Like, I've never seen it. So if you've only seen the hype like I have, you know that there's no way this film can possibly...
What if it did, though? What if you watched it and you were like, oh my God, I've missed out.
There's no
movie. All right, we'll be right back, folks. We'll be right back.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the David Knight Show. Third hour has begun. Andrew Tate is in studio with me. We're fiercely debating the most important topic in America right now, which is, of course, the Star Wars franchise. But no, we aren't going to stick to this the whole time. Really, I want to talk to you about what it is to be a man in today's society, where manliness has gone, and especially how that is affecting the sports world, of which you are a major part.
Yep.
So to you, what is the current state of manliness in America?
Well, it's under attack, because if you attack masculinity, then you attack society as a whole, don't you? So the last thing they want is strong-willed men who stick up for what they believe in, because then how do you brainwash a population? It becomes much more difficult.
Right.
So, of course, the number one path or the quickest route to the top is to just sell out to the liberal insanity. I think we've seen that from the recent nomination we're going to talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
If you sell out to liberal insanity, they promise to make you popular. Sell your soul to the devil. If you stand up for what you really believe in and common sense, well, then you get buried.
Yes.
Yeah. That's how it goes.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, and it ties into everything we talk about here at InfoWars, because it's the media manipulation. It's the mind control that they engage in. It's also the chemical control that they engage in. I remember reading a story fairly recently where it's talked about the higher your testosterone is, the more likely you are to go with your gut.
Yep.
And if you know anything, you know that you want to usually go with your gut. Usually your gut is right.
Yep.
And so, really, by decreasing testosterone in a very physical, you know, realistic, biological way, they're shutting you off from reality.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And also, by decreasing testosterone levels, you have people who feel safer in groups. You have people who have more of a herd mentality. There's been a lot of science that proves socialists have an overall lower testosterone level than conservatives. And
yeah,
the reason for that is because if you have a low testosterone level, if you look at things in the animal kingdom, if you're not, I wouldn't say predator, but if you're not capable of defending yourself, how do you defend yourself? Large groups.
Right.
And let's get a big large group, and then let's hope the lion doesn't come, and if it comes, it might kill somebody else. And this is all it is. They want that herd mentality, and that herd mentality is propagated by people who have low testosterone levels, and that's where the socialism comes from. Line up 100 socialists and line up 100 conservatives, put them in a Royal Rumble, and we'll see how it goes down. I mean, we all know the answer. So it's like this is the reality. This is the bottom line. When you remove testosterone level, you just have a whole bunch of people who are easy to control.
Yeah. And it's really obvious if you just play it out in your own mind, this idea of if you're in a room where a whole bunch of people are all saying the wrong thing, right? They're all like agreed that the sky is green, the sky is green. It takes a certain amount of bravery and a certain amount of self-confidence and a certain amount of, I don't care what anybody else thinks, to stand up and go, no, this is wrong. To be the only one, right?
Yep.
That stands up against the group.
Yep.
That takes some gumption.
It does take some gumption. And I was saying yesterday on the War Room, the level that the PSYOPs got to now, where they're convincing people men are women.
Right.
Like how far can they? I really believe that they've sat down and go, you know what? Let's test our propaganda machine.
Yeah. It does seem like that, doesn't it?
Let's take the most ridiculous thing we can and let's see. And now if you stand up and say that men aren't women and women aren't men, you know, you're going to have some serious backlash from individuals.
Yep. You know,
it's crazy.
I remember when I first read 1984 in high school, I didn't like it because I thought it was too unrealistic. Yeah. I thought it was crazy that you could have a population that truly believed that 2 + 2 = 5. It's a nice book. It's nice as like a metaphor, but it'll never get to that level. And then here we are.
Here we are. And every single day they come out with something new, and it's really amazing. It really is amazing. And yeah, that's what the machine does. It just promotes everyone or anyone who's on their side, and just common sense dies.
Yeah. And it's all about weakness. You know, it's one of the things about strength. I feel if you're strong, you want other people to be strong.
Yep.
Right. You want other people to be able to stand up by themselves and defend themselves.
Yep.
But if you're weak, you want everybody else to be weak.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
That's an amazing point. If you're weak, you definitely want other people to be weak because otherwise you feel insecure, don't you?
Yeah.
This is the first thing. I can't remember who it was. Some blue check mark liberal guy on Twitter talking about, you know, how he cries three times a week and men need to cry three times a week. He's unhappy really genuinely how he is as a person. The only way he can feel better is to convince other people to be the same.
Right.
And I, on one of my banned Twitter accounts, I was explaining to him that the key tenets of masculinity is emotional control. This is, you can't pretend that's not a tenet of masculinity. It always has been. When we go to war, we're scared, but we do it anyway.
Exactly.
We run into a burning building, we're afraid, we do it anyway. When the police are coming up on a bank robbery, they're afraid, they do it anyway.
Right.
One of the key tenets to masculinity is controlling our emotions, and men that can't control their emotions...
Are women?
Well, yeah. And the thing is with guys like this, they're like, oh, men don't need to control their emotions, we should all cry more, et cetera, et cetera. Like that's going to turn us into a bunch of babies. But what actually happens when you have men who don't control their emotions is you have serial killers or dudes who lose their mind in a bar fight and shoot everyone. Like, you don't want men who can't control themselves.
Right.
That is not good for society as a whole. We need to be preaching emotional control and not the opposite. So, yeah, the weak certainly try and weaken men, but in the long run, when they do that, when they try and take away our emotional controls, they actually make men more dangerous. If you look at these school shooters and these kind of people, these are people with no emotional control whatsoever, and they're little babies or weak people. They're never big, strong guys. They're nerds.
Right.
They're nerds with no emotional control, and the girls won't talk to them. And they've been told by society and everyone else that, you know, you don't have to control yourself. Just act out your feelings, and look what they do. Crazy shit.
That's a great point. Yeah. Stoicism is really undervalued in today's world. And it doesn't mean don't have emotions, right?
Yep.
You can have emotions. You just try to control it.
Yep.
It's like, just last night, my sister gave birth to a baby. And it's like every time I think about that, I want to cry because I'm so happy. It's a beautiful thing, but I'm not going to because I want to maintain a little bit of manliness on
the air. I mean, like everyone, of course, we're all human. If you're on the Titanic and it's sinking, you're going to be afraid. But also, it's your job as a man to say goodbye to your family and smile and do what you have to do. And this is a tenet of masculinity, which is they're trying to erode and they're trying to destroy it because they want to control us more. But all it's doing is it's making society as a whole more dangerous. That's what I truly believe. Every man I've met with no emotional control has been a dangerous man, and not in a good way. I mean, in an unhinged individual way.
Right. Well, more dangerous and just less enjoyable. And to illustrate this fact, I'd like to go to this clip. This is clip number 4. You know, this is Megan Rapinoe receiving Sports Person of the Year.
Why?
Why? She's a hero. You don't know this?
Of what?
She's a champion of
champion
something.
Champion of what?
I'm sure.
Jesus.
Women's soccer. Come on. It's amazing.
Point.
No. Yeah. So just think about how much fun everyone in this room is having when she gives this speech. Here she is, Megan Rapinoe, accepting Sports Person of the Year.
Is it true that I am the fourth woman deserving of this award? I don't think so. Is it true that so few writers of color deserve to be featured in this publication? No. Is it true that so few women's voices deserve to be heard and deserve to be read in this publication? I don't think so.
There you go. You give her a prestigious award, and she calls your publication sexist and racist in return.
And this is what happens. Yeah, you think you're going to appeal or appease these liberals. You can't because they're mentally challenged. She is a low IQ, and she's brutally unattractive, and I don't like her being on television ever.
I agree. It's offensive to me.
Yeah, I don't see how she got, you know. But like we said, anyone who goes down the liberal path, anyone who sells their soul, they're going to try and propagate, and that's what they're trying to do. That's what they're doing here.
Right. This is her reward, right?
This is her reward for selling her soul.
Yeah.
You sold your soul, so you get to be Sports Person of the Year, even though you're going to go up there and just complain. People of color, what's that to do with you? Like just where are you looking through the publication trying to find any excuse to complain about something?
Right.
To try and prove you're a virtuous individual, and that's what all these liberals really do. They don't have any genuine virtues as people, so they just try and preach imaginary virtues. Genuine virtues like bravery, like we were just talking about, the bravery to stand up for what you believe in. They don't have any actual genuine virtue as people. So they just sit and scroll through the magazine. Okay, there's enough black people. Okay, there's enough white people. Okay, there's enough. Oh, but there's not enough transgender people. It's like you're going to find something.
Right.
It's like it's insanity. Insanity.
Yeah. Ever changing goalposts, ever more ridiculous, ever more shrill, ever more obnoxious.
How, I mean, like how how broken down do you want to go?
Yeah.
Like, okay, we have enough black people, we have enough white people, we have enough women, we have enough men, we have enough transgenders, we don't have enough gay transgenders or pre-op transgenders
right.
or post-op. Like, there's going to get to a point, you can't represent everybody all the time.
Yeah.
There's going to get to a point where it's like, okay, there's one extra of something. Welcome to the real world.
Well,
like,
and the craziest thing to me is that it's in sports now, because sports was for a long time sort of the one thing that you couldn't fake it. If you scored more points, yeah. you scored more points.
Sports is supposed to be about who's the best.
Exactly.
But that's a harsh reality that they don't want people to accept anymore.
So because they don't want reality whatsoever. They want their own fake, false reality. Well, too bad, folks. We're tearing it down. More with Andrew Tate on the other side.
Working starts to make me wonder where the fruits of what I do are going. He says in love and war.
There we go. And let's do this.
This board, see, this is beyond infatuation. This is beyond admiration. This is mental illness.
It is.
This is mental illness.
It's like this is your mind on Star Wars.
Jesus.
And generations live in you now.
What good is this man as a man in any capacity?
But this is your fight.
It's insane.
It's not even a good trailer. Yeah, like, it would be one thing if it was a cool trailer. It's just,
it's like black screens and a desert. Whoa.
Oh my god, a desert! It's a desert.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
So what's happening? What's going on?
This is what I mean. There's no way the movies can live up to this.
No.
There's no movie that can put this kind of emotionality in me. I'm sure of it.
No, it's honestly sad. It's honestly all right. We can take down the crying Star Wars soy boy. We've had enough of him. We've seen him enough.
Yeah,
he's flipping out here. It is. It really is sad that somebody could be so emotionally moved by some crappy Hollywood movie. It's weird.
You shouldn't tie your identity to anything other than your own personal achievements. That's what I believe. I believe that the easiest route to the top as a man or as a person is to look at your life and go, okay, what have I done?
Right.
And it doesn't matter if it's Star Wars or anything else, but this is what people do. They outsource their personalities. Someone said, I can't remember who said it, and a lot of people, if a lot of people had a movie made about their life, they wouldn't even be the main character. And it's an amazing way. It's an amazing way to look at how some people live. Like, you make a movie about this guy's life. Is he the main character? No. Star Wars is the main character.
Right.
You know, and you notice it more and more. Where was I? I can't remember. It was about 6-7 months ago. I was in a restaurant and I overheard a date taking place. And at the date, they were talking about the bands they liked, the movies they liked, and I was sitting there saying with my brother, listen, if you listen to these people for the last hour, neither of them have talked about what they've done.
Right.
All they're talking about is what they like that other people have done. And this is how a lot of people live their lives. And I don't think they realize that the easiest path to being anything and really truly being fulfilled is to sit down and go, what do I do?
Right.
I don't care about George Lucas. I don't care about Star Wars. I'm uninterested. I'm interested in me. Give me a lightsaber. Maybe I'll care. But until then, it's like, whatever, you know, it's not my thing.
You know, honestly, I've had that realization recently, and I've stopped hanging out with a lot of people, and it kind of sucked. You know, I'm still friends with them, but anytime I hang out with them, I'm just like, well, I don't want to talk about, I don't watch Netflix shows. I don't know what you're talking about. Yep. We don't connect on this surface level, and you're not doing anything with your life.
Yep.
It's depressing me how, you know, ineffectual you are. Yep. And so you cut them out. You have fun with them every once in a while at a birthday party or whatever. But for the mass majority, I rather talk to people who are doing things. I'd rather go, what are you making today? What have you done today?
Absolutely.
And I have friends that do that. So you go hang out with them. They inspire you. You better the world.
Yeah. You're either a producer or a consumer.
Right.
That's how there's the two categories of people. You either produce or consume. So I'm not particularly that into music. But if I was, I would learn how to make music.
Yep.
As opposed to just sitting there and being a super fan and waiting for someone else's album to drop and standing in line and buying the album and listening to the album on repeat. I mean, fair enough. If you like music, you like music. I'm not saying, you know, don't listen to music. My point is, if music is truly your identity, where's yours?
Yeah.
You know, it's like that's the way I think people should live. And a lot of people don't want to. They want to sit there and... If film is so passionate to him, why hasn't he written a movie? He's obviously got all the time in the world. He ain't got a girlfriend, has he? Well, so he ain't got nothing else to do.
He's clearly producing top-of-the-line content. I mean, it's astonishing stuff. Dork. But, you know, there's a whole another level that it's been taken to, because things like Star Wars or Lord of the Rings, they became beloved. They became these cultural icons because of the underlying story that they represented, right? Whether you've seen Star Wars or not, you already know there's the big bad empire that wants conformity and it wants domination, and there's the scrappy, freedom-loving fighters that go against it. And so they represent these iconic or these elemental aspects of our culture. Same way Lord of the Rings, it's about standing up against the onslaught of the mechanized industrial. And so it resonates with that. But here, if you watch the new Star Wars, there's no message. There's no wider cultural value that you can latch onto and actually
inspires
it.
Hollywood's gone completely down the pan. I can't watch Hollywood movies anymore.
Right.
My girlfriend says to me, let's go to the movies. I say, I can't watch any of them.
Yeah.
Every single one of them is just littered with girl power and complete garbage, liberal insanity. I can't watch any movie. There's no movie you can think of they haven't completely ruined.
Yeah.
What's the last movie I tried to watch? Atomic Blonde or something?
There's your mistake right there.
But there's this tiny chick who beats up like 100 big Russian mob bosses.
Right.
All girl power, like you think I'm a girl, and I'm just sitting there going, I would whoop your ass. I can't even watch it. I mean, they've even turned James Bond into a girl.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they've taken away the last masculine character we had. I watched the last Bond, I was super upset because he already became a bit of a pussy. I mean, the girl shot him and shit, and he's like, oh, it's fine. Blow my shoulder off. It's okay. So right. I was just like, this isn't the Bond I know. And now they're going, all right, no, let's take it a step further. Bond's now a girl. Girls are in charge of everything. Girls beat up guys. And it's everything that's produced by the mainstream. It's not even just Hollywood. If you watch every TV show, the dad is a bumbling idiot. And the mom is the smart one. Watch any sitcom. Watch the man. He's some bumbling idiot. Oh, dad likes to just get fat and watch sports, and mom is the smart one. Like, it's just a constant attack on men. I can't watch this crap.
Yeah, once you start noticing it, it's impossible to enjoy these things. But then you see something like, I just saw Ford versus Ferrari, which is, I thought it was a great movie.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even that it was like this amazing movie by itself, but it's just you go in with such low expectations it just doesn't have overwhelming liberal propaganda. It's like, bravo, well done.
That's all we have left. We have real – that's a true story.
Yes.
You can hope they take a true story and don't destroy it.
Right.
But if they write anything, it's insanity.
It's going to be crap. Yeah,
it's going to be crap. And that's why nowadays everything's just a remake, which they're usually ruining something in a remake.
Right.
A comic book movie because they're trying to infantize men.
Yep.
Or – every once in a while, you get the odd good true story. That's about it.
Yeah, that's all you get. It's really a sad thing, but it's purposeful. It's not an accident they're doing this, because they are trying to destroy men because, as you say, they want control. And it's all about control. And if you're weak, if you're effeminate, if you're whatever, then
look at the action stars from the 80s. Look at Stallone, Arnie, Jean-Claude Van Damme, Dolph Lundgren. Look at them. And where do we have one like that anymore?
Right.
We don't have one man who's like, I'm a big, strong dude. Don't mess with me.
Right.
Not a single one left. They've taken them all away.
Can we get the comparison between like Arnold in his prime and Charlize Theron playing Atomic Bond, right? Yeah, like that's the dichotomy of action heroes.
And even the men they choose, for like Spider-Man or whatever, some tiny little dude. And it's just like, this is just, where's the
It's a celebration of weakness.
It's a celebration of weakness, because that's what they want.
It's not even about masculinity, solely about masculinity, because we want women to be strong too, right? But women aren't strong in the way that men are strong. We want strong feminine characters or whatever. I mean, when you talk about stoicism and maintaining your emotions, sure, it may be a more feminine aspect to be more emotional, but really you don't want a woman that's emotional either. You want a strong, stoic.
Exactly. And my view of a strong woman is a woman who does whatever she has to do to raise her family and take care of her kids and is a good wife. That's a strong woman. And I say that and it makes me sound sexist and everyone's offended. But to me, that is a woman who's far more worthy of respect than some woman who's got a law degree and whatever, is 39, childless, sitting at home depressed, eating chocolate ice cream, sitting on Twitter with a blue check mark, talking shit. Like, who's really the woman who's achieved something with her life? My grandma, it was my grandma's 94th birthday a couple months ago, and I was there and I looked around it because she had like 11 kids. And they all had a bunch of kids. And I was looking around. I don't even know the numbers. There must have been about 70 people in that room from one woman.
It's amazing.
And I look around. I'm just like, no one cares about her career. No one asks what job she
had. And now the women just have succulents or plants, right?
That's it.
making sense common again. This is The David Knight Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to The David Knight Show. This is Harrison Smith sitting in for David, who is on vacation this week. It has been a star-studded episode of The David Knight Show with a series of absolutely fantastic guests. Last but most certainly not least is Gerald Celente, regular on the David Knight program, and I'm so happy to talk to him. He runs, of course, trendsresearch.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Gerald Celente. Thanks so much for being with us, Mr. Celente.
Well, thank you, Harrison.
And, you know, Trends Journal, it's one of these, you're right all the time, pretty much. It's very hard to find a trend that you predict that does not come to fruition. Not that I have tried, because mostly I just accept what you say, because you seem to know what's going on. And just reading through some of these headlines from your website, you have everything from 5G to the strike going on in France to Hong Kong to, you know, movements on Wall Street in the U.S. and market movements. You really cover a broad spectrum of topics, which is great because I basically go blank whenever I start hearing words about markets. Whenever I start hearing words like interest or lending, it's like suddenly it's translated to Latin in my head. And so I'm going to be the avatar of the confused and ill-informed audience here and ask you to maybe explain some of these things that seem like they mean a lot, but I have trouble puzzling them out. You have this trend forecast from an article, U.S. Wheeling and Dealing on Wall Street, a U.S.-China trade agreement will do little to direct the markets next year. Agreement or no agreement, what will sustain equity growth is the continuation of monetary methadone by central banks in the form of negative zero interest rates, quantitative easing extensions, and repo market injections. Now, I understood a little bit of that, but what does that mean for next year for the average American?
What it means is that we're forecasting that the Federal Reserve is going to lower interest rates a couple more times, probably bringing them back to zero interest rates by this time next year. The reason being, there's a global slowdown going on. Japan just injected a couple of $100 billion into the economy in, quote, fiscal stimulus. The monetary methadone, as I call it, that's what's injected into the systems that's kept the markets boosted since the panic of 08. This is unprecedented in world history. They didn't teach me about zero interest rate, negative interest rate policy, and quantitative easing in Economics 101, a graduate school. They're making this stuff up. And what they're doing is the repo markets, first of all, on the monetary stimulus. It's not working that much anymore. And that's why they're doing fiscal stimulus, which means the government is going deeper in debt, taxing people more so they could build infrastructure, create more government jobs, whatever they can make up. That's what they're doing now in other countries, and that's what Japan is doing. Because they already have negative interest rates.
Right.
They've already tried the Bank of Japan is the one buying up most of the stocks and the bonds to artificially float the markets up. So now there's a global slowdown. India, one of the fastest growing economy in the world, slowing down dramatically. Car sales are down 25% this year. I mentioned car sales because after home buying, car buying is the next big thing. It's a big indicator. It's slowing down globally. They lost over 100,000 jobs already this year in India. Germany cutting out 50,000 automotive-related jobs because of the slowdown. Back to the States. We're doing better than the other ones because of the tax breaks that Trump gave in 2017, tax breaks that went over, and they're still feeling it now. But now it's going to start to slow down. To boost it back up, they're going to lower interest rates because the cheaper the money is, the more you gamble in the markets and you can buy real estate because you're getting lower loans.
Right.
So that's what we see happening. But it's only temporary because it's only going to work so long. Matter of fact, we're forecasting that Trump is going to win. It's one of our top trends for 2020. Trump 2020 by default, and it's default of the Democrats. They don't have anybody good enough good enough to run for him. But we're also going to say that after he wins, he's going to be Herbert Hoover 2021, because this global economy is going down big time. The other thing that's artificially propping up the markets that people don't know about, and I ask intelligent people, they never even heard about it. And guess what? I never did either until recently. I knew about it, but not like I do now. And that's what they call the repo markets. The repo markets are overnight markets where hedge funds borrow money so they could gamble the next day. Back in September, the repo markets went berserk. Interest rates went from around 2% to 10% because there was a shortage of borrowing money. The gamblers, that's all they are. They're addicts.
Right.
The people that gamble on Wall Street, they call them investors, hedge funds. They're gamblers. So they need their money. So the Federal Reserve and the Bank of New York, the central banks, have injected, you ready for this? Over $3 trillion into the repo markets since September 17th to keep the gamblers gambling.
Of this year?
Yes.
I was not ready for that. I was fully prepared for less than a billion, maybe a couple billion. Trillions of dollars since September.
17.
The image I'm getting is the house built on sand, and as it slips into the ocean, they're just shoveling more and more sand underneath it. Am I picturing this correctly?
Half correctly. The house keeps getting bigger and bigger, blowing up more and more with more heavy debt, and it's going down. Now, you thought a billion, they're pumping in now. Again, it's in the Trends Journal. Just on Tuesday, they pumped in another $70 billion. Every day they're pumping in $70 billion, $112 billion, $40 billion, $90 billion. Every day. This is unprecedented. The whole thing is artificial. The other reason the markets are going up is I talked about the tax breaks. What most of the money's gone into stock buybacks. These are facts. So now I'm getting money. I'm borrowing it for nothing. Now I'm buying back my stock, taking it off the market. So it's supply and demand. The price goes up. They're artificially propping up the equity markets by borrowing money cheaply. And now the corporate debt is building up. The whole bubble is getting bigger. Oh, and that, there's the government debt.
Oh, right. That.
Now, I talked about Japan. A good debt-to-GDP ratio is about 70 for a nation. Japan's is at 238, and they just are borrowing more money. China has a debt-to-GDP ratio of over 300. Their economy's slowing down. They're shoveling more money in. So this is what's going on. But hey, how about the impeachment? How about this? People don't have a clue of what's going on globally.
That is amazing. I'm speechless because I'm one of those people. If there's one thing I do know about the market is that Japan is underwater to that extent, but I didn't realize that it's just getting worse and worse and that seemingly nobody's doing anything to correct it. What can people do to correct it? Maybe that's a longer answer. Maybe we'll save that for the other side of the break. I also want to talk to you about this story about South Africa. You call it a canary in the coal mine, and I have been saying that for a while, and I'd love to get your opinion on that, and as well as about some of these mergers, $3.4 trillion worth of mergers going on. Another thing that, as little as I pay attention to the market or economy, it's something I've noticed, that these massive companies are merging at a rapid rate. I'd love to get the outcome. What's going to be the outcome of that? What's driving that? And what's going to be the conclusion? More with Gerald Celente on the other side. At Gerald Celente is the Twitter, the website, trendsresearch.com. Set me free. Gerald Celente has the truth at trendsresearch.com as as brutal as it may seem sometimes, the truth is the truth, and we have to face it if we want to be able to manage ourselves in reality. And so before we closed out last segment, I wanted to ask about what we can do to possibly prevent the seemingly inevitable collapse. But I kind of want to combine that with my other question, which is about this South Africa article from trendsresearch.com. It's titled South Africa, a Canary in the Mine, because as much as you see the bubble expanding and you see the collapse incoming, as I look at it, I see it almost more likely that we're going to go down the road of South Africa, where the collapse isn't some big, massive boom. Suddenly everybody's broke and it's world changing, of, you know, singular event, but rather a slow degradation process that ends us in a state of collapse without ever there being a collapse event. What do you think about that, Mr. Salente?
Well, when we talk about South Africa, we're talking about Rio Tinto, one of the biggest mining companies in the world. And they're closing down mines. They're not mining for gold and other precious metals because of the violence in South Africa. And right, they're concerned about what's going on. And this is what's going on around the world. And one of my sayings is when people lose everything and have nothing left to lose, they lose it. They're losing it in Colombia. They're losing it in Chile. They're losing it in Peru. They're losing it in Bolivia. They're losing it in Lebanon, they're losing it in Hong Kong, they're losing it in Spain, they're losing it in France, they're losing it in Algeria, they're losing it in Sudan and Zimbabwe. This is all over the world. I've been in this, in a few weeks, it'll be my 40th year of doing this. I've never seen social unrest like what's going on now. And with the exception of the very few, Spain and Hong Kong, all the rest are about income inequality and about the elites running the show and the police cracking down on everybody else. And so it's not only income inequality, it's the loss of freedom. And of course, that's what's going on in Hong Kong, the loss of freedom. So this is very big. So what to do about it? You start addressing these issues now before they blow up, and the governments aren't doing it. For example, In this country, we're going to be facing a homeless problem that way beyond what anybody can deal with. Because as the global economy slow down, more people are out of work. I mentioned all of these revolts going on. Just let's look south of the border. Hey, Mexico, guess what? They're in recession. You want to go to Guatemala? How about Ecuador? Yeah. What about Venezuela? How about Argentina? Brazil,
Bolivia,
one country after another. Now, when I talk about, again, Colombia, Peru, Bolivia, Chile, they just had a couple of days ago, another couple of 100,000 people took to the streets.
It's insane.
Where are they going to go? If you're in a country where there's violence, corruption, crime, poverty, you think you're going to want to escape? So people will continue to risk their lives around the globe. You see what's going on over in Europe. How many people keep dying in these little boats that are sinking in the Mediterranean as they're trying to escape the violence of where they're leaving from? So the countries aren't prepared to deal with this, and we should be taking measures to do so. So one of my, for example, the homeless problem. I'm up here in Kingston, New York. We're in the foothills of the Catskill Mountains. Way before your time, there used to be a thing called the Borscht Belt. That's where all the great entertainers back in the day at the hotels used to perform, the Rodney Dangerfields, all of those, right? Now they're all vacant. This beautiful country. How about, rather than they're just passing a defense budget now in the House that's bigger than anyone ever before, how about, we're really upset that Trump, you know, held back that $500 million in military money for the military industrial complex to go to Ukraine, huh? Mm-hmm. How about taking that $500 million and then building up these resorts where you could put the homeless? So now you have these places. I'm not talking about hotels. I'm talking about living quarters for people that are homeless. And guess what? People from New York City, they love to go camping up in these places. So now you're putting them in places where they could farm, where they could live until they get back on their feet and do things. But no, we're not going to do that. What we're going to do, Salenti, is we're going to put them in public housing in the middle of cities where it's going to cost a lot of money because we're too damn stupid, and that's the way we always do it.
Yep.
So what I'm saying is we're not addressing these issues.
Yeah, and you know you're exactly right, and it's so funny. You know, it's just we've just come to the same conclusion. You and I just looking at this, you know, the worldwide revolution or the worldwide civil war, whatever you want to call it. It's this crazy thing where it always starts with a protest about income inequality or something that's very easily fixable, right? In Hong Kong, it was don't pass this this bill, this extradition bill, right? And so protests occur because of that. And then it's the crackdown that really causes the protest to explode, actually, right? They try to shut it down immediately, and that's where it starts to spiral out of control. And it's the same thing we see absolutely everywhere. I don't even know if it's a good thing or a bad thing that it hasn't fully made it here to the United States yet. Maybe we need a little bit of action in the streets to get the attention and go, hey, we don't want the money going towards the military-industrial complex. We don't want it going towards Wall Street and the hedge fund managers. Why don't you pump it back into Main Street, back into the populace, and maybe we can turn this ship around?
You got it. But it's not going to happen in this country. There's no fight left anymore. We got no bullying zones. You
know? Right.
No, so I don't see it happening here. And you can see with the election, there's no demand for a new party. I mean, whoever gets elected is just the leader of the gang. You know, that's all it is. And they're murderers and thieves by their deeds and their actions. So we're not preparing for what lies ahead. And you summed it up perfectly in the way you said it.
Well, and the last thing I wanted to ask you about before the show ends here is this $3.4 trillion worth of mergers. It's detailed in your article, U.S. Wheeling and Dealing on Wall Street. What is this about? Because I noticed the same thing, especially with chemical giants. I noticed it where Dow and DuPont and Kim China and Syngenta. And it's like there are all these massive companies which were already probably too big for my, you know, concern. And they're merging together and creating one massive conglomerate. We're seeing it with Disney. We're seeing it with across the every industry, these massive companies are merging. Is that what you're talking about here when you talk about these trillions of dollars worth of mergers?
Absolutely. So here's the deal. Once upon a time, you're probably too young to remember this, there used to be a thing called stationery stores and hardware stores. No more.
Those nice. Now I remember those. They were pleasant.
Now we have Lowe's and we have Staples and we have Home Depot and so they put everybody out of business. They deregulated the Robinson-Patman Act, the Sherman Antitrust Act, the Clayton Antitrust Act, and in the banking sector, the Glass-Steagall Act. These prevented the bigs from owning everything. We had antitrust laws. So now when I mentioned before about the cheap money, the monetary methadone, they're borrowing for nothing.
Right.
And they're buying up everybody else. When they buy up other companies, these hedge funds, which never existed when I was a young guy, or private equity. What they do then is now we're going to cut costs, right? Yeah. Now more people get put out of work. It becomes now, there's no local shops anymore. You just become a worker on the multinational plantation of Slavelandia.
Yeah.
That's why you're seeing these revolts. It's the same everywhere. The few are buying up everything. And oh, what was that I just read something the other day about? You mentioned Disney. The people working down at Disney World are living in their cars.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know why.
Walmart is having food drives for their own employees. It's like, what?
Right. Now, I remember when Walmart began to grow. There was a number of people trying to resist this from happening, and they fought it, and they put everybody else out of business.
Yep.
They used to be, again, stationery store, mom and pop, dress shops, you know, different things. So by deregulating, by the antitrust laws, they allowed the bigs to get bigger. The bigger the bigs get, the harder the global economy is going to go down, because when they crash, they're going to crash hard. And they're putting a lot of people out of work, so the protest movements are going to keep moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, you have things like Amazon and others. They pay no taxes. They're the ones responsible for censorship because you can't build a competitor to compete against them because of the monopolistic aspect of these massive corporations. Well, that's the problem. Gerald Celente's got the solutions at trendsresearch.com, Twitter, at Gerald Celente. Thank you so much for being with us, Mr. Celente.
And thank you.
Edifying and educational, if not mildly terrifying, but that's the world that we live in, and we only are able to fight back if we know what we're up against. This is the InfoWar. This has been Harrison Smith signing off. I'll be back tomorrow for the David Knight Show. Join me then.